So who are the saints? Who counts as a saint? Well, if you're a good Lutheran, you know, take Kim here. Just for a moment. Sorry to pick on you, Kim, but you're kind of representative of all of us here for a moment. Lutherans will tell you that a saint looks like Kim, or looks like Catherine, or Sarah, or Brian, or Sam. A saint is an ordinary human being. People like us, people who struggle with their own sinfulness and are recipients of new life in Jesus Christ. And if a Lutheran is feeling particularly bold when you ask that question, she might point to herself and say, I am a saint. But then she might also add, in a quick breath, and a sinner, too. Truth is, God has adopted us into his family through Jesus Christ, making us saints, and yet, in this realm of existence anyway, we still remain captive to sin. There's more than involved in being a saint, however. First, saints are chosen by God in baptism. Our reading from Ephesians uses some provocative language, and I get it. It's that whole reading, those 12 verses are like two sentences. I get it. They're long sentences. But there's provocative language in there about God's choice of us to be God's holy people. Ephesians says that having received this inheritance of eternal life, this adoption, we are destined, according to Christ, to live for the praise of his glory. The first choice, we're reminded, is not ours to make. We don't choose ourselves to become Christ followers. Jesus himself makes the first choice, pointing to each one of us in our baptism and saying, I choose you, just as he tells the disciples in John's gospel. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Even and especially children who can't really be said to have conscious belief yet, where they're given the gift of new life in Christ by his sovereign choice alone. The story doesn't end when Jesus chooses us, though. That's just the beginning. It's the beginning of our time as Christ followers. Jesus has more planned for us, not just in the hereafter, not just in the world to come, but here and now. And that brings us to the gospel reading, which might be a little bit confusing. Why was this section of the Sermon on the Plain the choice for today? Jesus gives a list of blessings here, half the number of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. The difference between Matthew's and Luke's Beatitudes is pretty noticeable. In addition to the four blessings, Jesus gives us four woes, which, if we're honest, probably make us squirm a bit. Jesus says, woe to you who are rich, who are full, who are laughed, who are spoken well of. All these things, Jesus says, are all too temporary, all too fleeting. But on the other hand, who wouldn't want them? They're considered blessings in our culture. Everyone wants wealth to some degree. Can't live without it, after all, even as humble Midwesterners, we would never admit it. The neighborhood I grew up in small town Iowa, had a farmer who was a millionaire, had a banker who was also a millionaire, had owners of the logging company outside of town who were probably also millionaires, but you wouldn't know it by looking at their houses. And there was us in the neighborhood, you know, family of five, you know, firmly middle class. In the upper Midwest, if you have wealth, it seems, you don't want anybody to know about it. But if we're honest, we do want that to some degree. Everyone wants to be full, to laugh, to be well spoken of. No one wants the kind of blessings that Jesus says are blessings. Blessings to those who are poor, hungry, weeping, and persecuted, hated, is the word Jesus uses. And following that, where Jesus says to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, I don't know of a single person who honestly in their heart of hearts wants to do that. Do you? We may want vengeance, or we might call it justice, or we may at least want to separate ourselves from them, but rarely do we want to love them. We'd often rather hold a grudge and make ourselves out to be the victim. These words of Jesus can make us uncomfortable, partially because, well, if we're honest, they apply to us, and also partially because they seem to defy common sense. But this defiance of the common way the world operates is at the heart of the gospel. It is at the heart of Jesus' promise of life for all the saints. It is at the heart of what makes for God's beloved community in Jesus Christ. Because both in the hearts of the saints now and in the world to come, ordinary values are turned upside down. The world will be turned upside down. Theme of this turning topsy-turvy in Luke and Acts begins in Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel promises that God will give the aged Zechariah and Elizabeth a son. It continues in Mary's song when she sings, "You've cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. You've fed the hungry with good things, and the rich you have sent away empty." It continues when Jesus is born not in a palace, but in a stable, laid not in a bed, but in a feeding trough, and grows up not in the city in the middle of everything, but in a little nowhere town in Galilee, where he begins his ministry among the poor, the weak, and the sick. When Jesus chooses a group of 12 men, 12 ordinary men, 12 men who otherwise wouldn't be of any account, when he descends from the mountain right before our reading to a group of not just Jews, but Gentiles from Tyre and Sidon as well, when he eats with sinners and tax collectors, and when his ministry is bankrolled by a group of women, women who often had little personal power or wealth in those days. This inside-out way of life reaches its conclusion on a hill outside of Jerusalem, wherein the Lord of life, God in the flesh, is crucified at the hands of religious and political leaders who see Jesus as a grave threat to the common sense values that they espouse. Rich over poor, strong over weak. And then just when it seems like all hope is extinguished, God the Father vindicates Jesus and his gospel by raising him up. The saints, God's people of all times and all places, know this story well. Jesus is the one who was and is in solidarity with the weak, poor, and suffering. Jesus is with them before he is with those who are on top. He certainly could have created a heavenly kingdom on earth after the way of the world. That was the temptation, after all, from Satan, to create that kind of a pseudo-messianic kingdom. But Jesus chose a different way, a harder way, a way that doesn't court necessarily the powerful, but a way that includes the poor and the suffering. The power of God, as our Ephesians reading calls it. And we can be grateful for that choice to be in solidarity with those who are weak, poor, and suffering. Because we know, deep down, no matter what we have, no matter what our status is in life, we are among them. Deep down underneath any material wealth we have, under any privilege we have, we know that we have nothing in God's sight. Luther wrote on his deathbed, "All of us are beggars. This is true." The saints know that true wealth, true happiness, lies in Christ, and in Christ alone. The saints know that because Christ is with them, because Christ is in solidarity with them, that they are empowered to be in solidarity with the kinds of people that Christ kept company with? Those are kingdom values, not earthly values. Kingdom values like forgiveness. Kingdom values like love. Kingdom values like generosity. Kingdom values like mercy. And on this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who now fully know of Christ and his kingdom, who are kept in the heart of God. They were the ones who taught us the faith, taught us these crazy inside-out values at the heart of God's kingdom. And they are the ones we will one day be reunited with when we ourselves pass through that gate of death and await resurrection to life everlasting. We are with them in the community of all sinners and saints. And God will keep us with them. God, help us to continue to come to know him in the words of Ephesians, to grow in wisdom and to live out those kingdom values, the values of the saints, the values of Christ in our earthly lives. Let's pray. Jesus, you came down to our human state to give us a new word of life. Help us be united with those you pronounced blessed, and to keep in mind our own reliance upon you for everything we have and everything we are. Give us a certain hope that we will be reunited with the saints who have gone before us, who know fully of your kingdom. Amen.